Hello, this is Janet Meshagan Watson for Voice of the Last Days Ministry, and this is your wake-up call. The Lord is doing a great thing in the earth. Well, there's a saying that I'm sure you've heard that, to be honest with you, I don't much care for, and that saying is, they have a holier-than-thou attitude. Well, I understand the concept they're attempting to convey with this statement, but it's a misuse of the word holy. Holy has nothing to do with what a person thinks about themselves in terms of being self-inflated or ego or any of those things. It has a specific usage, and I want to talk to you today about what it means to be holy. I want to look first of all in Exodus 3:5. We know the story where Moses was drawn aside to look at the burning bush, and when he was there, listen to what the Lord says to him. Then he said, now this is God speaking, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." And then he goes on to say, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. He said, this place is holy ground. Why? Because God's presence was there. It is God's presence that makes something holy. Let's look more into this concept. Psalm 15:1 says, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill?" In other words, your presence. Your presence has made this place holy. Who can dwell there? It says, "He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he who honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. So who can dwell in your presence? The one whose heart is toward you." These other things are just evidence that your heart is toward the Lord. People will argue and they'll say, "Well, it doesn't matter what you do as long as your heart is toward the Lord." What sense does that make? Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say?" If your heart is toward the Lord, it's going to be reflected in your life. Is it going to make you perfect? Probably not. But it will make you wanting to walk toward that perfection, which is Jesus Christ. He came and did the work for us so that we could be offered as holy in His sight. But then it is up to us to do our part, which I will come to in a moment with some of these other scriptures. Psalm 86:2 says, "Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you." Well, let's look at this scripture in a couple of other translations. The Amplified Version says, "Preserve my life, for I am godly and dedicated. Oh my God, save your servant, for I trust in you, leaning and believing on you, committing all and confidently looking to you without fear or doubt." And the New Living Translation, "Protect me, for I am devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and trust you. You are my God." The Living Bible, "Protect me from death, for I try to follow all your laws. Save me, for I am serving you and trusting you." The New International Version, "Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you." The concept of holy as it can apply to us is in terms of usage, that we are set apart by Jesus Christ. We could not have set ourselves apart for holy usage no more than the vessels in the temple could have set themselves apart. But now those vessels don't have a will. Once we have been set apart by accepting Jesus Christ, then we reflect that in our choices. Well, if you're not convinced yet, let's just look on just a little bit more. Let's look in Matthew 7:6. Jesus said, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." Well, this can apply to a lot of different things. But specifically, I would say in your life, the things that should be holy, the areas of your life that should be for God, you are many times, I am using them for other things. My attention drawn here, my energy drawn there. The Lord gave me a prophetic word a few years ago concerning our own Holy of Holies in our heart, where only Christ should be able to enter. That innermost part of our being that should not be open to anyone other than Jesus Christ Himself. But yet we know we allow a lot of things into our lives, and then that place that should be holy is desecrated. Romans 12:1, a scripture that I have used a lot, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, he goes on to say, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So if you're wanting to convey the message that we use the phrase holier than thou to try to convey, it would be better to be say what the Apostle Paul said right here. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Be sober before the Lord. Know what's in you first. Look at Ephesians 1:4. It says, even as in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own, in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him, and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him in love. We were foreordained to be these holy vessels of the Spirit of God, the mystery that's been before the foundation of the world, Christ in you, the hope of glory. His presence makes us holy. But then through an act of our will in terms of our conduct and our manner of living, we choose those things that reflect our dedication to God. If you're confused, there's a passage that will explain. Let's begin in 1 Peter 1:1. I'm reading in the Amplified, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 15. Reading 1, says, Peter, an apostle, a special messenger of Jesus Christ, writing to the elect exiles of the dispersion, scattered, sowed, abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father, and consecrated, sanctified, made holy by the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ the Messiah, and to be sprinkled with His blood. May grace, spiritual blessing, and peace be given you in increasing abundance, that spiritual peace to be realized in and through Christ, freedom from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts. So we see that we're set apart and made holy for usage by the sprinkling of Jesus Christ's blood, something we could not have done for ourselves. Now look down at verse 14. And then we'll read 15. 14 says, live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance when you did not know the requirements of the gospel. And then here is verse 15. If you look at verses 1, 1, and 2, along with verses 1, then 14 and 15, says, but as the one who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. Verse 16, for it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Well, there's the answer. Christ made us holy before himself by the sprinkling of his own blood. Now we can be vessels that carry his spirit in this earth. But then our part, because we do have a will and we do choose our actions, is to be led by the Spirit. The Word of God says, if you are led by the Spirit, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To make those choices now that reflect this inner dedication and consecration. And I would say this to you, if you're struggling with sin daily, now we all struggle with some form of falling short daily, that humanness, the attitudes, this or that, but I'm talking about you just all the time, you're a major sin, wannabe sin, and always struggling, you need to go back and let Christ sprinkle you with his blood to be consecrated for his service. And then the struggle, yes, it will be there, but the desire to be obedient to him now will win out over the desires of the flesh. Don't you want to be holy, set apart for the purpose of Jesus Christ in your life? You can be. Let's pray about that. Father, I thank you that through Jesus Christ, you have made us acceptable, holy, blameless, irreproachable in your sight. Now, Lord, help us as we are led by the Spirit to walk in a manner that is pleasing in your sight and reflects the commitment and consecration that we have to Christ. Lord, let us be holy vessels, because we know that even though we have these earthen vessels, we contain a treasure, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory in us by way of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you have done this for us. Thank you that you help us to become living sacrifices as we live on the altar. Thank you that you have rebuked and exiled the devourer for our sake, so that only your word can be manifest in and through us. It is in Jesus' name and his authority and under his blood that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, the next time you hear somebody say holier than thou, recognize that we all should desire to be holy through Jesus Christ. Think of ourselves more highly than we all? No way. But to recognize that we are holy? Oh yes, there's power in that. I'm praying for you.